Good morning. This morning I bring you greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who is and was and is coming again. Do you believe he's coming again? Do you truly believe he's coming again? Whether you believe it or not, he's coming. We need to be ready for his return. Thank you, Brother James, for the word, for the message this morning. A challenge. It is the word of God. And we need to heed the word of God. I want to begin this morning by giving you a little brief history of my life. And later on, I'll share a little more about it. But many, many years ago, men and women were taken from Africa. And they traveled all the way to the Caribbean islands, North America. And they were used as slaves on the plantation. Some cotton plantation, sugarcane plantation, citrus plantation. And then slavery was abolished, and they needed workers in the islands. And they needed workers to continue the work. And they sent word to England saying that we need workers. And they sent people from England to India to get workers. They were called indentured laborers, work for a period of time. So the Indians left India and went to the small islands, one island in particular, Trinidad and Tobago, two islands, one country. Thank you. And they had these workers to take the place of the slaves. Why do I tell you that part of history? Because my father's great-grandparents would have come from Africa. My mother, her great-grandparents would have come from India. But my mother was living with a man from East Indian descendant. His great-grandparents came from India. And my mother had an affair with my dad while living with another man. They didn't know it at the time, but she got pregnant, and they all assumed was for the man she was living with until I was born. A couple of months later, maybe about 5 months, I was told the man looked at me, an East Indian man, an East Indian woman, but the child didn't look East Indian. Looked like had some African blood, features of an African child. The man told my mother that he would not take care of a child that is not his, and challenged her, and I was told that she did broke down and said yes, she had an affair with another man. And through that affair, I came into existence. The man said, I would not take care of this child. Is either the child go or I will go. We make decisions in life and we do things in life. And the choices we make in this life, there are consequences that not only affects us, but sometimes affect others. The choice of sin does not only affect the one who is sinning, but sometimes it goes on to the next generation and even to the people around us. Many of you remember that morning was a morning like any other morning. Was a morning that the farmers went out to work. Was a morning that the stock market was open in New York. It was a morning that the school children was going to school. It was a morning that was a pre-election morning. People were getting ready to go to vote. A morning like any other morning, a Tuesday morning. But on that morning, some man got into some plane in Massachusetts. With evil intentions, they made a choice that day to destroy the lives of Americans. And that morning, they got into four planes. And plane number one hit tower number two in New York City, the World Trade Center. And plane number two hit tower number one, the other World Trade Center building. Plane number three went down in the Pentagon. and play number four in a field in Pennsylvania. And over 3,000 lives were lost on that day. But I remember that night living in New York City. People with love, pictures of their loved ones asking the question, have you seen him? Have you seen her? This is my father. This is my brother. This is my sister. The choices these men made not only affected them because they died in the crash, but affected thousands of people all over the world. The choices we make affects many. David, a man after God's own heart, the Bible told us that one day he was in the wrong place at the wrong time. The Bible says that the kings went forth to battle, but David, being a king, instead of being in the battle, he was at home sleeping. You know the story. He got up and looked out and saw Bathsheba. She being in the wrong place at the wrong time. David had a choice as he looked to turn away and walk away. But the longer he looked, the more he found a reason to want what he should not have. He made a choice that day. Even though he was told who this woman was, and he was told that who her father was and her husband was, he made a choice. And he chose what was wrong. And not only did it affect him and his family, a man died, and we know the story of David and Bathsheba. My mother made a choice to have an affair with a man. Sometimes we say it's just one time, it's just a one night, it's just a one. But that affected my life because she had to make a choice. Get rid of the man that is taking care of her, supporting her financially, or get rid of the baby that she carried in her womb for 9 months. And breastfed for 5. Hard choices to make. I was told she made one choice. A choice I had to live with, or I could have died with. She made a choice to try to cover her sins and to cover and get rid of the sin. And gave me poison to drink that day. And I was told that she panicked and took me to the hospital, and God saved my life. God saved my life because I believe in Jeremiah. God says that while you were yet in the womb, before you were formed, I have called you and set you apart to be my prophet. And I take that as a personal word from God for me. I believe God has all called us and set us apart for a work he has for us to do, but we have a choice. Choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. Choose ye this day whom you're going to follow. And because of what I heard growing up as a child, that I was rejected by the one that was supposed to love me and take care of me and protected me, was the one that tried to destroy me. My wife and I have traveled all over the country and parts of the world and ministered to a lot of people. I praise God, it is not me, it is the Christ in me. But I've heard stories from women who have shared of the abuse, physical and sexual abuse they had from the ones that were supposed to have protected them, from their uncles and their cousins, their brothers, sometimes even their fathers would abuse them. And many of them walk around with life being ashamed of their life. Being ashamed and believing that they cannot do anything for God. When, like myself, they were just victims. Victims. And there's so much, even in the church today, men abusing family members. Women being abused, even to some extent, young men also. The choices we make affect the lives of many. I'm going to stop here and maybe share a little bit of my story later on. But I want to get into the Word of God this morning. My brother shared the Word, a expounded some on the word. If you have your Bible, open to Hebrews, the second chapter. Hebrews, the second chapter, talks of some of what Brother James just spoke of. The word of God being spoken. The word of God being preached. In Hebrews chapter 2, verse 1. I want you to remember the words that you heard this morning, those passages of scriptures that were read this morning. The word of God, the things that was taught to you, the things that was spoken to you, not only by Paul, not only by James, but because of the Holy Spirit and God. Because the word of God, as he shared in the last verse, it is God's word. God used Paul to speak what God wanted him to write. Chapter 2, Hebrews. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. We ought to give more earnest heed. We ought to listen up. We ought to acknowledge the word of God that was spoken this morning. We ought to be able to sit up and listen. This is the word of God, and we're accountable for what we do with the word of God. It has been spoken. Now we need to act upon it. And God has not leaved us as orphans, but he has sent us his Holy Spirit that will teach us all things and show us all things. So we just can't say, well, we can't do it. We can. In Christ, we can do all things. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest as any time we should let them slip. If you allow me, I like to use the word drift. You allow the word of God and the things of God to drift away from our lives. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape it? We neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was continued unto us by them that heard it. I want to share some thoughts with you this morning on the drift of the church today. The church has been drifting. It is not anything new. The church have drifted in both directions. At one time, the church drifted into the man-made laws and regulations. And you got to do this because the bishop says it. And you got to do this because the priest says it. And the church have drifted very far away from the word of God. Today, the church has gone in the opposite direction and drifted away from the word of God and from the people of God to the things of the world. When I talked, I said that word drift. What comes to mind? What comes to mind, I think, of living in New York City, and we have a ferry that goes across from Manhattan to Staten Island, a big boat. And I think it's time you're just sitting on that boat, and it's the engine is not even on, but it starts to move, starts to drift. And if there's not an anchor that holds it down, we start moving. Many of you who like to go fishing know what it's like. You're sitting in a boat, and the boat is just idling there. And you could look at the land, and after an hour or so, you realize you're not in the same place when you first started. Or a car. You're driving your car and you let go of the steering wheel. And what happens? You start drifting. I could tell you with all our traveling at times when I sort of drift away a little bit in the tiredness and my eyes would just close a little bit until I hear the rumble on the side of the road. And I realized I started drifting. Why? Because I wasn't focused. I lost focus for a little bit. How about the nation of United States? How have we drifted? What about the Anabaptist churches and how much we have drifted? Marriages today have drifted. You ever hear someone says, I don't know what happened, but we just started drifting apart. What causes that? Churches drift. Families start drifting away. Churches drift. They began like a house on fire because the church is supposed to be a house of fire, and there is fire, and then we lose focus on the Word of God, and we start to compromise the Word of God. We add it onto the Word of God, and we take away from the Word of God. We walk around with a nice passage of Scripture, Romans chapter 1. We say, this is what the Word of God says, and we use just one part. Or let's take Romans chapter 6, verse 1. Therefore now there is no condemnation. And we said there is no condemnation. That is true. But that's not the end. It says there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ Jesus, that walks not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. But we drifted away and we take what is nice. There is no condemnation. No one can condemn me. But that's not what it all says. And we pick some words from the Bible and we just walk with these words. And all of a sudden we live like the world and we have drifted away from the foundation of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Certainly believers can drift. Meeting Jesus for the first time gives every true believer a heart of fire. I mean, we are passionate about the things of God. There's a prayer meeting, we want to go. There is service, we want to be there first. And then eventually we start getting cold and start drifting away. Take our attention away from the things of God and start looking at the things of the world. When the Bible tells us, set our heart upon the things that are above, not on the things that are below. I want to give you four thoughts this morning on drifting. Number one, the description of drifting. As I begin this message, I gave you a mental image of a boat drifting or a car drifting away. It has no course, it has no anchor. It's completely at the mercies of everything outside of it. And when we're here and we're not in the Word of God, when we're not being directed by the Word of God, by the Spirit of God, and when we say, well, we're just here, we start drifting. There's no anchor. We're not rooted and grounded in anything, then we start taking anything and everything. We start believing whatever people say. You know, there was at one time, the good works you do, you if you work hard enough, you know, you'll go to heaven. Kind of like some religion, Muslims, Islam believe that. In Islam, it believes that the last day they'll check, they'll weigh what you did, what was good and what was bad. Doesn't matter your relationship with what they call Allah. But it's according to how you live. You live good enough, you did enough good, you give enough tithes, enough offering, Yet you had an evil, wicked heart. And you live with that. Today it's all grace. There's not a balance. Well, you could live your life however you want to. You have in the pulpit today men who are confessing homosexual and are in the pulpit. Say, that's all right. God is love and God is a God of grace. Yet in his word he says it's an abomination. It's not me saying it. It's the word of God. Take heed to what was said this morning. The word of God that was preached this morning, that was expounded on this morning. The boat simply starts drifting as it sits there, floating and waiting. And eventually it just starts slipping away until it's hard to find its way back. Drifting is literally going with the flow. It feels good. Everybody's doing it. It just feels good. I mean, the big church down the street, they got over 5,000. And they're all doing it, so why can't we? We're all Christians. We're all believers. They all call on Jesus. The Bible talks of the narrow road and the wide. Jesus says, in the last day, many will come to me and says, Lord, Lord, did I not do this in your name? Did I not go on? I went on the mission field, Lord. You know, I was there, I was here, I was everywhere, Lord. And he said, away from me, you workers of iniquity. You did it for your own. You did it because you were looking for something on your own. The development of drifting, how does it develop? The Bible tells us it develops when we do not pay attention to what it is said in the Word of God. When we do not heed the Word of God. How can we heed the Word of God if we do not read the Word of God? If we do not listen to the Word of God, if we do not live the Word of God. Sometimes because of carelessness. I dare to say that no true believer ever made a decision to backslide. No one says, you know what, I'm just going to backslide. As we start drifting away, start finding friends that are not believers and start getting into circles. Start getting into different places on the internet, television, whatever it is, it feeds the physical man. Non-commitment, if you're not committed, it breeds unconcern, and unconcern breeds neglect, and neglectfulness helps us start backsliding. If we're not purpose, God wants us to be a people of purpose. Not just floating around however, whenever. No, we must purpose. See, Jesus Christ purposed to go to the cross. And then when he was hanging on the cross, he purposed to die for your sins and mine. He purposed. In the Garden of Gethsemane, he's there with tears and blood, cried out. He said, Father, take this cup of suffering away from me, but not my will, let your will be done. He purposed that we shall all be saved if we'll call upon his name and turn to him. The list of how drifting develops is a long list. Carelessness, purposeless, selfishness, bitterness, lustfulness, covetousness, on and on. It goes on. The detection of drifting, how don't you forget this? No one sets out to drift, or how we start drifting is because, like I said, we haven't had a purpose in wanting to serve God. Well, my dad used to go to church and I went with him. My uncle's was a deacon, and we just because it's what we do, rather than I purpose to serve God because who he is. I purpose to serve God and to bless God because I want to. It is a desire of my heart to want to bless God. If that's not a purpose, that's not what you want, then when you're in your own circles of friends that are not godly, then how could you stand for God? How could you stand for God if you're not purposed to serve him? Not just on Sunday mornings, but on Mondays and the Tuesdays and the Wednesdays, Friday nights and Saturday nights, when the parties are going on, the drinking and the smoking, and the adulterous and lifestyle, when hate and anger and bitterness creeps in. What about a landmark you can use? We have to have a landmark. You're in a boat, you have to have a landmark. This is where I'm at. The Word of God is what it is. This is what's going to keep us from drifting. We could read all kind of commentaries and all other things, but the Word of God is what is going to keep us. That's why he said, take more heed to what has been spoken to the Word of God this morning. the danger in drifting? How will we escape such a great salvation? In a boat, the danger of drifting are the rocks at the bottom, and it's all easier to drift downstream. And that's how the world is. It gets us going fast downstream. But when you got to go upstream, you don't drift going up. And if we want to get to that place that God has called us to, we have to purpose, Lord, we want more of you. Lord, we need you, Lord. And Lord, we're purpose to serve you. Why? Because you first love us. We love you. This tragedy that comes in a boat that starts drifting. There's tragedy that comes in a life that starts drifting away from the Word of God. Tragedy that I've seen so much in the last couple of years. As we have traveled, we met and made lots of friends. Some of you may even know this man, and he used to be a part of the circle. Went to church with us in New York, a man on fire, he preached fire and brimstone. Then he started drifting and drifting and drifting. And today, he's just right out in the world, just living off the things of the world. Because somewhere along the line, he lost focus. Somewhere on the line, he pulled up the anchor that had him stabled, the Word of God, and he started listening to man rather than God. And when he started listening to man rather than God, he started drifting into the way of man. The deliverance from drifting. To be delivered required us to pay attention to what is said to us in the Word of God. In Romans 8, Paul goes on to tell us. Paul says, I am persuaded neither life nor death, nor things present, nor things to come, principalities, powers, wickedness in high places. None of these things can separate us from the love of God. God will always love us. Now we have to make a choice to love him. He have done his part. For God so loved the world that he gave his son. If you have your Bible, just open it up to Romans chapter 12. I want to give you something that helps us from drifting. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Paul is speaking here to the church. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. And Paul says here, you want to stop drifting. This is what Paul says. He says, I beseech you. I beg you. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, the church. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God. How many of you here today know that God is a God of mercy? I can tell you. It's only because of the mercies of God I'm here. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present voluntarily to give. That word present means I'm going to volunteer. No one's going to drag me to the altar. No one's going to drag me to serve Jesus. I'm not going to drift into Jesus, because you'll never do that, because the flesh always want to drift away. He says, I beseech you, for brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies, how? Not dead. A living sacrifice. Now, we all know that a sacrifice was a dead animal you put up there. Can't move. When the fire comes in, it's dead. It can't move. God says, I want you living. When the pressures of life come and the things of life come and the fire is turned on, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? I want you to present your bodies a living sacrifice. And how does he want it? Holy. Holy and what? Some people have their Bibles open, some don't. Holy and what? What does it mean, holy? Set apart. Set apart unto God. Holy. Not like the things of the world. I shared with the young people last night. We always serve a master. We always serve a master. I shared with them last night. Many young people says, you know, nobody's going to tell me what to do. I don't care what you say, but nobody's going to tell me what to do. Because I'm free in Jesus Christ. So no one's going to tell me what to do. But I shared with the young people last night about 8 years ago, 9 years ago. The same people who said no one's going to tell them what to do in New York City. Could have been here, but New York City, we had a style, a fashion. 7th Avenue is called the Fashion Avenue in New York City. And in that summer year, they said all the ladies wear bandanas. So all the ladies covered their head all day long. It's hot sun, rain, everyone was all covered. And when we looked in the book of Corinthians and said, this is what the word of God says, that a woman should cover, well, nobody's going to tell me what to do. But when 7th Avenue said, this is a fashion, we all follow. So the next year, they said, well, the fashion this year would be long skirts. And all the ladies would dress modestly, long skirts. But you said nobody's going to tell you what to do, but now you follow the way of the world. The next year went to miniskirts. So guess what? Nobody's going to tell me what to do, but I'm going to listen to the world. Whom should we listen to? Who do we stand before God with? Yes, I know many have come from places where it was just pushed down on you, never explained what the word of God is saying, never was allowed to allow the Spirit of God to move. So we go from one extreme to the next extreme. No one's going to tell me what to do. We'll all serve a master. Either God, Satan, and the world. But we'll serve one. That's why the prophet says, choose ye this day whom you're going to serve. If God be God, serve him. We all have to do that. But I go back to say, let us not drift. Let us be anchored in the word of God. We should hear what is being said to us. Actually, we should both hear and listen. To listen is to respond, and to respond is to repent, and to repent meaning to come and says, God, I have sinned against you. And the God who is God of mercy and grace, receive the sinner. Remember King David and the prophet Samuel. When David did the sexual sin with Bathsheba, and Samuel came to him, the prophet, and said, give him a story of a man that had a couple of sheep, and one man only had one, and he gave him the whole story. And when David heard, he was angry, and he says, who is that man that took this man one? The prophet says, you. And David repented, cried out to God, asked for mercy. But the choice he had made, it was consequences. The child had to die. The child wasn't a sin. The act that brought the child was a sin. David was a sinner. And the choices we make, there'll be consequences. But when we come to God and repent, he forgives. So much that God later on says that David is a man after my own heart. So yes, God does forgive. How do you prevent from drifting? Turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians, the 6th chapter. Let's look at a scripture. What helps us to prevent us from drifting? Ephesians, the 6th chapter, let's look at verse 10. Not with eye service, as man pleases, but as the servant of Christ, doing the will of God from the heart. With good will doing service as the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatever good things any man doeth, the same shall be received of the Lord, whether be bond or free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them. And verse 10, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Verse 11, put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the enemy, the devil. It means your purpose. It doesn't mean I'm just going to drift into church and drift into Christ. It means standing a purpose. When everyone else is going, and God says, stand, stand. Because we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. We have to acknowledge that there is a Satan out there, there is sin out there, there's darkness out there that wants to draw us. And my brother, go. I don't know what part of the Philippines you're going. We have one family from our church from the Philippines. But I think of being in Africa, in Kenya, in Haiti. Sometimes you're out there and it's dark. There is no other light, maybe some stars in the sky. And it's so dark sometimes you can't even see your own hand in front of you. I remember one night it was so dark and I wanted to get up and go out and I couldn't see anywhere. And all I did was open my phone. And just the little dim light of your phone, my phone, the whole room got bright. You see, when darkness is there and light comes, darkness has to flee. This wasn't any big bright light. I mean, if you open your phone right now, it doesn't seem like any light. But the darker the light, the darker the place is, the brighter the light should shine. And Brother James, as you go, I pray that God is going to use you as a light that would shine, that many can see the goodness of God in you and your family. And so he could be glorified. But it means that you have to be purpose. Because sometimes we go on the mission field and we can start drifting. Because everybody here is doing it. This is a culture. And culture cannot supersede the word of God. Many times people say, well, that's a culture in Africa. That's a culture in Haiti. That's a culture in China. Now what does the word of God say? We will not stand before God and give an account according to culture. We'll give an account according to his word. That's why it says, heed the word. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and the power of his might. Put on the whole armor. The whole armor. Verse 13, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all to stand, stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girded about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness. We need the truth of God's word. God's word is being watered down so much in the churches today, where immorality, sexual immorality, and blasphemy is coming into the church today. I remember a couple of years ago, I had meetings in Southern Indiana. In the church in New York, every other month, we have what's called a hymn sing on a Sunday evening. And many people have drifted so far away, even in our church, that on that Sunday, I got a call on my way. Well, the Saturday, I got a call on my way to Southern Indiana. One of my pastors says, you know, tomorrow's hymn sing. I say, yep. But it's also tomorrow is Super Bowl Sunday. Okay. Do you think, he said, do you think we should start the service a little bit earlier? Or maybe we could start it a little bit later. Or maybe we cut it a little bit short. Because a lot of the men would want to go see Super Bowl. And I said, well, I think what we should do is next year, when we sit as pastors and we look at a calendar, we see when is Super Bowl Sunday, when is basketball Monday, when is, look at all the sport game, look at all the things of the world, and then we set up service. And he laughed and he understood why I was being sarcastic. Because many times we allow the things of the world, because we have drifted so much, to take over the things of God. How could we ever say, let's start a service earlier, because it's like I was in church 2 Sundays ago, one church, and here we were singing, God is so great, God is awesome, God is mighty, Lord, come deliver us. And a woman's phone rang. She got up, picked it up, walked out. So wait a minute, who is greater? Another time we're in a prayer meeting and the phone rings and man just take his phone and walked out. We're speaking to God and all of a sudden you walked away from God because somebody else called. I challenge many people that, yeah, I use my phone, but on a Sunday I never take my phone to church. Because I know I'll be tempted when that buzzer, you see, I'm on silent, but when that buzzer goes on, you want to see who it is. Because we start drifting. And the things of the world and the pleasures of the world. The Bible says that we have to give a father, mother, sister, brother for his name's sake. I'm not telling you what to do with your phone. I'm not telling you what to do with your computers. But we start drifting when we allow the things of the world to come before God. So, my challenge to you today is to heed the word of God. That's why Paul says, and I'll continue on, if you want to go back to Romans chapter 12, where he says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, for it's a reasonable service. But he didn't end there. He went on to say, and do not be conformed. Do not be conformed to the things of this world. It is so easy for us to be conformed in the things of this world when we start drifting away from the word of God. Do not be conformed. The world shapes us and bends us in how we should live and how we should talk and how we should dress and where we should go. He said, do not be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed. Get that word from... You think of a caterpillar, little ugly-looking thing, and all of a sudden it's transformed from a beautiful butterfly. He says, I want your life to be transformed. Don't be conformed to the things of this world, but be transformed by what? By the renewing of your mind. Satan wants to, oh, that's all right, you can do that, that's okay. Hey, you know, we got a whole thing happening. You know, I was at one, many years ago, I was living in New Jersey. I went to a Bible study. And after the Bible study, we got done early, and the man in the house said, oh, well, we got done early tonight. Well, maybe we could have a glass of wine. And he said, I don't drink. I used to be an alcoholic, and I gave up drinking. Oh, it's okay, you know, hey, you know. I said, so it's quite all right, you know. No, I don't do that. Well, I had a man that got saved that we had shared with, and he was an alcoholic, just came off of. And that one night, he didn't come with us. And I was sharing with him the next day what had happened, and he said, you know, if I was there, and I drank that one glass of wine, I'm going to go right back into my old life. Another instance in the same church, Sunday morning. Worship team is singing, and people are singing, and lifting up hands, and praising God. It all looks good. Except one woman was standing right next to us. And the clothes were so immodest that when she lifted her hand up, there was more to be seen than needed to be seen in church. Yes, it's okay. God looks at the heart. See, God looks at the inside. Well, if God sees and God knows the inside, When you come and you walk, you represent God on the outside. And the way we dress on the outside, the way we carry ourselves on the outside is a witness and a testimony to the world. Because the world can't see your heart. So you go out to witness and you all dress immodest, and whether it's male or female, what are you saying is in the heart? How could you be a testimony? I'm not just talking to the young people. I'm talking to even the older ones today. Because I believe the church is drifting not because of the young people, because of the older ones like us, hasn't have a good purpose and foundation. And we start drifting. And when one generation does in modesty, the other generation do in excess. So the older ones, we have to be anchored in the Word of God. Teach it. Like the brother read this morning, preach the word in season and out of season. In season, when it's good and it's plentiful, when everything is great and ripe, and even in the dry times, when it's hard. Be instant, in season, and out of season. Because perilous times are coming. When men will just want to hear things to tickle their ear, make me feel good. Some of the biggest churches in America do not use the Word of God. Walk around and tell you how to be successful. How you can make lots of money. How you should never get sick. And you should never do this and that. And you could be prosperous. People get their ear tickled. They feel good. They go home feeling good about what they're doing. The life they're living. Whatever lifestyle is quite all right. God loves you. And that is true. God loves us and always loves us. But then he says in Isaiah, your sins have separated you from me. So my challenge to you this morning, be established in the Word of God, stand in the Word of God, and let us stop drifting into the things of the world. Let's all stand as we pray. I don't know where you are this morning, but I'm not asking you to come up here. I'm not asking you to lift your hands up. But I want you to look at your life. How do I know I'm drifting? Is the Word of God still something you desire? You love to read? Coming to a prayer meeting and being with other brothers and sisters, are you anxious about that? Hearing the Word of God and heeding the Word of God, and when God says, I want you to go to such and such a place to witness for evangelism, are you excited about that? Yeah, I want to go. I want to be there. I want to see lives change. Are you excited? Are you just excited when they say, hey, let's go hang out. Let's just go do something. Let's go swim. Let's go in the pool. Let's go on the beach. Is that the only excitement? Are you excited about the things of God? Are you on fire for God like when you first get saved? Some of the signs to know you're drifting is when the Word of God is just, it's just the Word of God. Wow. Man, that was a word this morning. I just love to hear God's word. I want to be in God's house. David says, I was so glad when they said, come, let us go into the house of the Lord. Are you excited of the things of God? Are you excited in serving? There's a group of men that came here and came to New York City. And we're excited to share the gospel. Excited to share Jesus Christ and his love, his mercy, his grace, his holiness. Are you excited for the things of God? You know, you can check. You could check that little thermometer and see, are you really on fire for God? Do I really get excited to be in a prayer meeting? Do I get excited to be in a, just meeting with believers and sharing? Am I excited when they say, let's go to Fort Wayne and pass out tracts and invite people to church? Am I excited? Like, oh man, how long are we going to go for? And yet a baseball game could go to, I don't know, 2 to 3 hours. And you could be excited. A football game could go to maybe the same time. We're excited. We can't wait for that. But for the Word of God and the things of God, are we excited? Let us pray. Father, we give you thanks and praise for your word. Thank you for your word that we heard expounded by Brother James this morning, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, for the message that you gave to Timothy through Paul. Some of the warnings. I think even right now, Lord, of the word this morning, of how many could start drifting away. Drifting into legalism and drifting away from God. Drifting to the world and the things of the world and drifting away from you. Backsliding, falling away, Lord, whatever the word we want to call it. But I pray, God, that you will restore us, you will draw our hearts back to you this morning. Let me some here this morning do not know you as Lord and Savior. I pray, God, that they would not want to drift into that, but Lord, they will purpose today to call upon the name of the Lord, and they shall be saved. There are some today whose hearts are getting cold and they're drifting away. I pray, God, that they will come back to your fold, come back to you, and purposely want to live for you. Be excited about the things of God, the word of God. When it's time for singing songs of God, of praise, Lord God, be with a loud voice, sing out praises unto you. When it's time for fellowshipping with other believers, excited about it. Things of the world, service of the church, and whatever it is you have called them to. Bless each and every one, Lord God, with a purpose of serving you. Pray for each man, each woman here today, Lord God. Each one of us, our hearts will be turned towards you. And we'll purpose to serve you, to live for you like you died for us. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Just a quick, I know I'll be having a lunch, and I'll be sharing a little bit more of my story and a little bit of the ministry. When you go out the door right here, there's a table. I've put some of the stuff that we use in ministry. I've been to Haiti a couple of times with Christian Aid and with Blue Ridge. We've also been to Kenya, Africa, about 5 or 6 times. We've worked there, we're doing. Also some islands in the Caribbean, Jamaica and Grenada and some of the other islands, Trinidad. God has allowed us to travel to some of these places. There's a lot of the foreign money and all that stuff there. All the stuff there is on display. There were CDs. Those are just some of the CDs we use in New York City, done by Christian Aid Ministry right after 9/11. We did 225,000 CDs. 41 groups of people came to New York City to share the gospel. And one of my ministry in New York City is when groups come, I take them to do evangelism. And we have a group, we go into the subway, we go into the streets of New York City, and we share the gospel of Jesus Christ. You'll see some of that literature there. And a group that was there some time ago, I was with them, went around New York City. They came for one day. Some groups come for the weekend. Some groups come for a whole week. They do work in the homes, helping some of the elderly and widows. If you ever want to come as a church group and be challenged, but I want to warn you, if you're coming, it's not just to come and then come back home and be cold, but to come and to apply some of the things you learn, because there's all around us people that needs to know Jesus. So you feel free to browse around, and then I believe right at the meal or after the meal, I'll be sharing a little bit again with you, finishing up some of my story in my life, how I got saved and how God chose me from the foundation of the earth and when I received that. And God bless you.